This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to another episode of The New World Next Week, which, of course, we want to remind you that we do have NewWorldNextWeek.com now. For the time being, it redirects to NewWorldNextWeek.blip.tv, another site that we are using to help basically put redundancies and just spread this information as far and wide as we can. You can go there and get the high-quality episodes. They look great. You can burn them off. You can hand them out for folks who maybe aren't online. And again, James, I think that's, you know, hitting all of these sort of video sites and social networking tools. They are ultimately just tools, and they need to be used properly, I think. So without further ado, let's get into this week's important news. And we're going to start off on MediaMonarchy.com for a post I'm calling Geopolitics and War Whores: Powder Kegs Looking for Sparks. Now, this is basically a large data dump that I think at least gives a overview of just a lot of the difficult, uncomfortable, unnerving situations that are playing out on the geopolitical stage. And we essentially say these are all bad situations that could turn exponentially, catastrophically worse in the event of, as we see throughout history, some catalyzing, catastrophic event. But let's start it off with a post from Of Goats and Men on drills, Bolton, Harvard, and putting pieces together. And they noted on their blog earlier how John Bolton, and James, was he the former UN ambassador? I forget off the top of my head.
That's right, former U.S. ambassador to the UN.
To the UN, who also said the UN should basically be destroyed, or if it lost, you know, if a building lost floors, it wouldn't be a difference. But this has picked up a lot of chatter in the alternative media, as well as the sort of reactionary, some of the right-wing media, Newsmax and some of the others. And James, this is something you and I were talking about before we started to shoot, of these shooting for dates. And what we're talking about right now, as we speak here in the States, it's still the 18th of August, and the chatter all around the web is 3 days. In 3 days, there will be a strike on Iran. And people are playing into this. So, yes, it's important to mention and put on the record. But, James, you and I both never want to play into the predicting dates about things, because ultimately it never happens. So, yeah, oh, please jump in.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, it's I'm highly skeptical of people who are predicting exact dates for things that we can't possibly know the exact dates of.
But what this ties in essentially with is we'll spread the picture out. John Bolton thinks an Iran attack must proceed within days if it is to occur at all. And this is because Russia is loading fuel into Iran, that basically if Iran starts to build nukes, then it'll be too late for Israel to blow it up, because, of course, the environmental destruction of destroying nuclear reactors. Basically, if we're going to hit it, we, meaning the U.S.-real team, it's going to happen before the 21st. So again, we're putting that on the record. Proceed with caution, we'll say. There are terror drills and military exercises going on in Korea. So of course, we still have the North-South Korea situation, as volatile as that is. Interestingly enough, Harvard, and this is according to theatlanticwire.com, has divested itself from Israeli investments, which one could speculate has to do with fear of coming war in the Middle East, business or politics. We also have gold on the rise, and none of this definitely means war is coming, but it certainly suggests that it very well could be. And as we roll down this data dump of information, you'll start to see what we're talking about in these powder kegs. So we have the aforementioned U.S.-Israel increasing military cooperation. They're holding joint exercises and war games. There's a story from Danger Room that I haven't seen blow up quite as much as it probably should. Israeli soldier defends her sexy Facebook prisoner pics. This is essentially a replay of what we saw going on with the torture from Lindy England. And we'll get to that in just a few moments. Egypt seizes explosives on ship coming from Israel. There's a great story from allgov.com that points out that the real war against terrorists isn't in Afghanistan, but it's in Pakistan, Yemen, and Somalia. Obama's already approved expansion of CIA drone strikes in Pakistan, raids against terrorists in Somalia. The war of terror expands, of course. Our new Obamacare doesn't use that term anymore. They change the terms, and sometimes the faces change, but it's the same thing. We tie in Afghanistan says they found a 1.8 billion barrel oil field. That's from Reuters, and that may show that we're not fighting terror in Afghanistan. We're there for the resources. 61 truckloads with 300 tons of explosives go missing in India. The former Pakistani intelligence chief, the head of the ISI, in I think a pretty landmark interview with Alex Jones recently, and those whole videos are all available. He fears World War III is imminent. We've, of course, already known Castro talking about the same thing. All of these situations, unfortunately, kind of set the stage for a sinking of the Maine, Gulf of Tonkin incident, you name it. James?
Absolutely. Well, we just continue to see buildup of war in pretty much every theater on every front, and it's quite disturbing. But as you say, we're in Afghanistan for the resources, including especially, of course, the opium. Or they want to go into Iran because Iran is a holdout against the Western governments that want to use that region. And they want to go into Somalia because they want to keep China out of the region. And they want to go into Venezuela because Chavez and people like that are against things like CAFTA and this whole American free trade continent. So absolutely, just protecting American interests around the world, and it's as you say, it's a powder keg waiting for a spark, and I just hope the spark doesn't come.
Absolutely, absolutely. So again, folks, I guess what we're basically saying is be vigilant and check out all of these sources. There's massive documentation for you to go and do more research for yourself. But James, let's now hop to our second story on cyberspacewar.com. And I don't believe we've touched this one before, but I do have a flashback to now over a year ago, back to July of last year on this story on MediaMonarchy.com. Hate blogger Hal Turner, he has now been burned by the government that he served. Last Friday the 13th here in August 2010, a jury found national security intelligence asset Hal Turner guilty of threatening to kill a judge. Prosecutors argued the former radio host threatened federal judges Richard Posner, William Bauer, and Frank Easterbrook after they upheld a law banning handguns in Chicago. Quote, let me be the first to say this plainly, these judges deserve to be killed, end quote, Turner posted on his website in June 2009. He also posted the judges' phone numbers and office addresses. Two previous attempts by the government to convict Turner resulted in mistrials with deadlocked juries. Hal Turner's conviction after this third try and possible 10-year prison term, which isn't probably going to happen, is yet another example of the government habitually burning trusted assets. There's a lot of documentation to go through on this story, and we don't really have time, but we want to tie in the historical precedents to this, such as Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld essentially ordering torture and then burning the folks who actually followed through with it, such as Charles Grainer, and of course, Lindy England, who was unfortunately from my home state of West Virginia, referenced that back to our sexy IDF soldier of a few moments ago. We've got Hitler essentially killing members of the Brown Shirts. And James, I make references a lot of times on my radio show to the film Goodfellas, Martin Scorsese's film, because I find that take of gangsters, I find it really, really helpful in kind of explaining a lot of the things that we see in the real world. In that, in the film specifically, after they pull off one of their big heists, the Lufthansa heist, after the heat comes on, they end up burning and whacking their own guys because they know too much. They were there, they fulfilled a role, and ultimately they know too much and have to be removed. So lastly on this, if anything, the case of Hal Turner should serve as a warning to anybody considering cooperating with the government in its ongoing effort to infiltrate, perhaps some cognitive infiltration, and neutralize, as the late FBI boss J. Edgar Hoover characterized in the actions of his COINTELPRO, any organized opposition to the establishment. We'll also reference, James, your recent episode on COINTELPRO.
Right, exactly. Well, yeah, it's funny, the FBI was kind of known for, you know, breaking up the gangs back in the day, but now they really are the gangs, and they're just enforcing, yeah, exactly, their own little gang. And absolutely. Well, the important thing about this story is that Hal Turner is an FBI informant. He was an agent provocateur that was actually doing this for the government. But the funny thing is, if I'm not looking at it right now, but from what I remember from the Wired article, They don't mention that until maybe the sixth or seventh paragraph, way down in the story, and it's kind of an aside. And the way they phrased it, if I remember correctly, it makes it sound like maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. He was claiming to be for the FBI or something. But from what I understand from what came out in the trial itself, it was admitted by the FBI that he was actually working for them. And then when you read all the comments on the Wired article, people are saying, oh, it's these, you know, right-wing teabaggers like this guy, you know, and things like that. No, the point is he was working for the government. Do you understand this? He is an FBI informant. The government is infiltrating and trying to cause these types of incidents in order to demonize whoever they don't like. I mean, that's the point.
That's the point. Whoever they like, that's the thing. It's not just this, because now it's Tea Party and right-wingers, because that's the paradigm now. And again, James, you and I said this leading up to, you know, the new puppet coming in. It was like, now watch, all the well-meaning left is going to go to sleep, and the reactionary right is going to become energized. And we see it go back and forth every 4 and 8 years. But back in the Bush years, we saw them infiltrating peace groups. So it's essentially for the same end. They want to infiltrate and disrupt and sometimes put out dis and misinformation, and in this case, incite folks to violence. So again, saying it's all those teabags misses the point entirely. And again, folks, we added in tons of documentation here to fully go into the story of Hal Turner.
Right. Exactly. And the positive thing is that 5 or 6 years ago, I myself was blissfully asleep in the left-right paradigm, but now I'm awake and I'm hoping to spread some information, I hope. So I just hope that other people will continue to wake up to this blatant manipulation that's going on behind the scenes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's go out with a positive note, as I think we try and do here. So we're going to jump to foodworldorder.com for another great report from allgov.com. And on the surface, this may seem kind of simple and silly, but I think it's deceptively so. And I think really great news. Wheat bread sales top white bread for the first time ever. For the first time in consumer history, Americans are buying more wheat bread than white bread. From July 2009 to July 2010, sales of wheat bread increased 0.6%, totaling $2.6 billion, while white bread sales declined 7% to $2.5 billion. Americans seem to be turning to wheat bread for its healthier nutritional value. Declining sales of white bread have hurt longtime producers like Sara Lee, whose sales have dropped 10% from last year. That company is reportedly up for sale. Other brands that are hurting include Hostess Wonder Bread, I would say the ugly king of white bread, down 5%, and Bimbo's Stroheim is down 6%. We have some links for you to read about Hostess and Bimbo and Sara Lee from a great site called knowmore.org, KNOWMORE.org, where you can search out corporations and things and see how they rate on a scale of human rights and environmental, all those things. But what I want to mention here to top off this positive story is the photo that I included on this post is actually from a Portland, Oregon-based company called Dave'sKillerBread.com. And it's essentially a bread company started by an ex-convict who, when he made it out of prison, wanted to turn his life around and do something positive, not only for himself, but for his community. And his whole story and some of his music and all kinds of things are up there. And I don't think I've ever said or done anything like this, but this is one of those companies that I totally have no problem sort of endorsing. I eat Dave's Killer Bread every day, and I think it's, again, one of those fortunate things that Portland, Oregon is a place that does have a lot of locally produced food, which again, time and time again, James, that's what we've talked about. It has to come back to locally producing not only media and entertainment and all those things, but most importantly, our food.
Well, there you go. I knew it. I knew it. You were a shill for the whole wheat bread industry. That's it.
After all these years, I finally, you know, he's a plant for the bread industry, the bread industrial complex.
Right. Well, no, but it is a good story, and I like this because, as you always say, we may not be able to personally control things like a U.S. rail strike on Iran or whatever, but we can personally control what goes in our own mouths. So, absolutely, people, vote with your wallet and do the right thing. But we're out of time. So, James Evan Pallotta, MediaMonarchy.com, thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Take care.